This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. And we're going to have a great show today, and we have one of our more interesting people who has probably more interesting stories than anybody in this community. I'm going to have Mr. Jerry Warner on today, and one of our educators and done many things, and you're going to hear a lot about it this morning. And we want to let you know that this part of his show is brought to you by At Home Care. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means that Home Care is hands-on, involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, 713-4639, online at homecaretennessee.com. That number again is 713-4639. At Home Care, your number one source for the best care in Middle Tennessee. Good morning, Mr. Jerry Warner. Always glad to see you.
Good morning.
You're one of my favorite people, and you have led one of the more interesting lives of anybody, and you have such a vivid memory of it, which really makes it so much fun. And I always think of you as a long-time Rutherford County resident, and you really are, but you actually were not born in Rutherford County.
I was born in Singleton in Bedford County. under a kerosene lamp.
Wow.
The electricity had not gotten to Singleton at that time.
Uh-huh.
And we moved to Nashville long about the time of the Depression. Mm-hmm. And my dad was working with the State Highway Department as a mechanic. And he was making $1 a day.
Wow.
It would be terrible to have to go back to that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, especially with our economy.
And we were paying, like, $4 a month rent.
Wow.
But anyway, he lost his job. And I think the Red Cross was probably helping us some. But anyway, my mother dressed me up one morning. I was about 3, I guess. And we went out to one of the biggest houses that I'd ever seen. And we were on West End, and we were at the governor's mansion.
Wow.
Henry Horton was the governor. And my mother, she was sort of a go-getter. She knocked on the door, and the butler came to the door, and she said, "I'd like to see Mrs. Horton." She mm-hmm. didn't want to see the governor. She wanted to see Miss Horton. And the butler said, "Miss Horton's having breakfast. Y'all come on in."
Wow.
And so we traipsed back to the kitchen where Miss Horton is having breakfast. She offered us to have breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "How can I help you?" Well, she said, "My husband is an auto mechanic at the State Highway Department, and he's lost his job, and we'll take a job anywhere in Murfreesboro, anywhere in the state of Tennessee."
Mm-hmm.
She picked up the phone and called the State Highway Department. They had one opening in Murfreesboro, and that's how we got here.
What a fortunate thing for us.
So that was really a first for ever. I guess I'm the only one that has come to Murfreesboro through that route. And my mother was a real interesting lady. She was in the hospital one time, and old Dr. Murphy was her doctor, mm-hmm. and she said she'd had an operation. She said she thought she was well enough to come home. He said, "No," said, "Miss Warner, you got to stay another 2 or 3 days. That you're not well enough to go home." She said, "Well, I feel strong enough to go." "Well, you can't go, because then they'd pay about $10 a day, so they'd keep you forever."
Different than now.
It's a little different now. And so one morning she found out where they put her clothes, and she went down and got her clothes and called a taxi, and hell, she went home.
My kind of lady.
And Dr. Murphy called the house, mm. And she answered the phone, and she said that's the first time he'd ever sort of laughed. He said, well, you pulled one over on the stage this time, didn't you?
That's good.
And another little story about her. She got her prescriptions from Messick's drugstore. Mm-hmm. And she got a prescription. She had some arthritis in her hands, and she couldn't get the top off. Mm-hmm. And so she called down there to tell them, look, I can't get the top off of my prescription. And so they said, well, Miss Warner, we'll send somebody out there right away. She said, I don't want you to send somebody. She said, I want Dr. Messick to come get it off. And said, he came out there.
You talk about a strong-willed lady.
Yeah, he came, Dr. Messick came out there and got the top off of it. And I'm sure when he went back up, he said, good Lord, get these tops on for Miss Warner. So he said, I ain't got time to be going out there and getting tops off of prescription bottles.
Now, but, you were over in what I consider the most colorful area in Rutherford County, and that's over in Westview.
Westview was a wonderful place to grow up. It was blue-collar workers. Mm-hmm. My dad worked at the highway department. We lived about a block from there. I don't remember any crime. Somebody might drink a little bit too much, and police might have to come out and uh-huh. caution them a little bit. But we kept our doors open. There was no stealing, mm-hmm. and just a good place to grow up. And I remember one little incident that we had some real good fruit trees in the back of our yard. And apples and cherries and peaches, and some of these boys that hang around the grocery store down there, they like to come down there and get in those trees and mm-hmm. eat those peaches. And my dad said, well, we're going to stop that. So we got out there one night, and he had a double-barrel shotgun. And I was scared he was going to kill some of them. He said, no, I'm just going to shoot over the top of them. And so we were laying on a blanket, and they all got up in the trees. Must have been six or eight of them. And they were chattering, carrying on. And he let that first blast go over. And some of them told me later, said they didn't climb out of the tree, said they just dropped. and said when he fired that second blast, he said we just ran that much faster. And so they dropped caps and knives and everything. We put them in the grocery store down there. But nobody ever claimed them. But some of them told me later they were scared to death.
Well, I'll guarantee you.
So, but anyway, I worked at Carlton's. They called it Carlton's mm-hmm. Cash Grocery. But no one had any cash, so there wasn't a lot of cash. Most of the time they would just leave their list there, and they'd run an account for a week, and they were very good about doing that. And I don't remember anybody ever getting a divorce. I don't remember seeing any real fat people like we see today, mm-hmm. because there weren't that many cars over there, and most of them walked to town, mm-hmm. and I worked at Carlton's grocery store, and I got a dollar a day, and for supper I got a sandwich that Miss Carlton would fix the meat slicer. You could read a newspaper through it, and we'd get
probably had a lot of bologna. Right?
Yeah. Well, we tried to stay away from that bologna. We tried to get that barbecued ham or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'd get one sandwich and one nickel Sally Ann cake, mm-hmm. and a 5 cent drink, and that was our supper. And we got a dollar
Sally
a day.
Sally Ann was right down the street.
Right. So, but anyway. There was just a good place to grow up. We went to McFadden School, and the teachers were just wonderful. We had excellent teachers. Mr. Pittard, Homer Pittard, was our principal, mm-hmm. and he ruled things with a pretty iron hand. You probably have heard about that.
He was my principal at Central High School. Yeah. He was tough.
And he could be tough. And Archie Cass and I were on the basketball team. Arch and I have been friends since fourth grade. I see him almost every day. And in the seventh grade, we were on the second team. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, when we got to be eighth graders, we were on the first team. And I asked Archie, I said, Archie, how in the devil did we ever get on the first team? He said, they drafted the first team. And they were. There were boys in the eighth grade that were 17, 18 years old. And they joined the Army and the Navy and the Marines. And so when they left, we got their uniforms. And so we were on the first team.
You had what I call a normal childhood back then. And there were so many interesting people that came out of Westview besides yourself. I mean, these are names that relate historically into Rutherford County history. And some of them, you know, were what we would call very successful in the medical industry and law and all the other
teaching
business. Teaching, very, very prominent in teaching. And some
doctors,
of them,
some doctors,
right,
doctors.
And some of them, I would call those the more famous people. And then you had the infamous people. And you had one that really reached the very pinnacle of being infamous and is very strong in the folklore of Rutherford County.
Are you talking about Spence Edwards?
I'm talking about Spence Edwards. Who else was we talking
about? Did you
about?
Know Spence?
I know his history, but, you know, when I first went to work in the sheriff's office, his name was very prominent in how to run a jail and how not to run a jail.
Yeah. Spence was, I would say, a friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
We played together, not a whole lot. My mother and dad didn't much want me to go down to his house and play. He had four brothers. But we grew up together. And I didn't see him again after I left Westview. Until I went to, drafted and went to Japan. Mm-hmm. I was in the Army of Occupation, the 25th Infantry Division. And we went up to the Red Cross Club that day, a couple of days after we'd been there, and mm-hmm. I saw this fella looking at me, and I thought, good gosh, who knows me 4,000 or 5,000 miles from home? And so he meanders up to me, and he said, I believe I know who you are. He said, I'm Spence Edwards. I said, oh, yeah, Spence, I hadn't seen you, and I hadn't seen him in a long time since I left over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me when I got there. I told him, well, we just got there last couple of days. And he said, do you have any money? I said, well, we've got occupation money. He said, I mean Japanese money. I said, no. He handed me a roll of Japanese money, and I didn't know whether it would buy an automobile or a candy bar. I mean,
a lot of yens go to a dollar. A
lot of yen. Uh-huh. And he was into a lot of yen. I found out later that he was probably the head honcho of the black market for the whole island of Honshu. And that was the largest Japanese island there.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd take me, I mean, he got to be pals with him. And I would let him read my letters from home. He knew my mother and dad. And I'd let him read my letters from home, and they'd send me cookies and stuff, and we'd share those.
Mm-hmm.
And but he'd take
tell me, everybody what his job was over there.
Oh, his job his job was the chaplain's the chaplain's assistant. I mean, what? Not really an assistant. He was a T5, and he was a driver.
Uh-huh.
For the chaplain.
Uh-huh.
And. And he had an office down to, it was a small church. They probably didn't have over 40, 50 people that would attend church. It was just a little place. But he'd take me out in his Jeep, and we'd go up to some of these big cities, which I wasn't supposed to be out of the compound.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd ask me for my pass, and I guess he had them paid off all the way up to Tokyo, I guess. Mm-hmm. And but anyway, I was getting ready to ship home, and so I left him a note on his bed. He'd gone somewhere with the chaplain. I left him a note on his bed and told him to come see me, and left my address and everything. And didn't think anything more about that. And then it wasn't many weeks until he was discharged too. And he drove up to in front of my house in a 46 red Buick convertible.
Wow.
Beautiful car. And he was all dressed up, and he went over and talked to my mother and father and showed me that little note. He said, I knew where to come because mm-hmm. it said you gave me your address. He put it back in his billfold. And And so I asked him about that car, and I think some father gave him the car to get out of California and leave his daughter alone. Mm-hmm. I think that's how he got that car. But anyway, Buddy Miller and I, Buddy was over there, he was my best friend. Mm-hmm. He was over there with me, and he and I, we'd ride around town and in that red Buick convertible. Wow. And waving at all of our friends and mm-hmm. letting them know, boy, we know somebody
here.
We know somebody here in high places.
Yeah.
And it wasn't long after that till they arrested his brother, Harry. And Harry was in jail. I've forgotten what it was. So he called down to jail and said, "I'm coming down there, and I'm gonna get my brother out." Well, the jail keepers, I understand.
He was dropping leaflets down to let everybody know they better get out of town.
That's
right?
About what it amounted to. Uh-huh. And so the jailers and everybody down there, somebody said they went to the ball game. And I can't blame them, because they knew who he was, and he was could be tough. So he broke his brother out of jail, and they head down through Georgia. And down there somewhere, I'm not sure what happened, but they killed a GBI, Georgia Bureau of Investigation mm-hmm. man. And he became then one of the 10 most wanted criminals in the United States.
That's amazing.
And so that's not a distinction that I'd like to know, that I rubbed shoulders with one of the 10 most wanted criminals. But
but at that time, he was just a friend that
up with. He was good to me, and I had no problems with Spence. Mm-hmm. And he I don't know how much education he had, but he made a lot of pictures over there
in Japan,
mm-hmm. and he'd give them to me and write on the back of them, and he had a beautiful handwriting. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
it seemed like he was an extremely bright fella.
He
had a lot of ways to use his mind to get what he wanted.
That's right. But anyway, they captured him. I think they had a shootout down there, and he went to prison, and then I think he broke out of prison. But anyway, I came home from school one day and from college, and they told me about this 10 most. They wanted me to come down to the police station, and I thought I had applied for a job at Oak Ridge, and I thought, well, they want to check me on that, but what they wanted me to do is come down there, and that's when the city hall was across diagonally across from the Baptist church. Mm-hmm. And I walked down in there, and there were FBI people and everybody down there, and when I walked in, there was just silence. And so they put me under one of these big lights and started questioning me, and I was really scared.
How's it to be grilled?
I was scared to death.
I'll bet you were.
They said, "We know you've been in touch with Spence Edwards, we want you to tell us something about that."
We're going to take a quick break. We'll hold it right there while you're underneath the light.
Okay.
When they're sweating you down.
Okay.
And we'll be right back with Mr. Jerry Warner.
This is Bob New. I'm running for state representative in the 37th District. I've been a resident of Rutherford County for 23 years. I'm a registered nurse and veteran. I'm committed to the people of Rutherford County. I will work to bring good-paying jobs to Tennessee, improve our schools, and spend tax dollars wisely. Together, we can move Tennessee forward. I would appreciate your vote on November 6th. Visit my website at electbobnew.com. Thank you. I'm Bob New, and I approve this ad. Paid for by Bob New Campaign, Linda New Treasurer.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
Are you 10 pounds overweight, 30, more? Those extra pounds are hurting the quality of your life, your relationships, and your health. Dynamic Medical Centers offers fast, effective, medically supervised weight loss programs. Patients routinely lose up to 30 pounds in their first 30 days, and our programs are easy to follow with no hunger, no surgery, and no trips to the gym. For a free weight loss consultation, call 455-0850, dynamicmedicalcenters.com.
With the cost of college rising every day, there's never been a better time to start saving. That's why the Tennessee Department of Treasury created the new Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program. Visit www.tnstars.com to open an account with as little as $25. If you're a Tennessean and you open an account with at least $50 by December 31st, you get a one-time $50 match from the state. Plus, if you roll over your entire balance from another college savings plan, you'll receive $100 in your account. To learn about the Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program, its investment objectives, risks, and costs, read the official statement available at www.tnstars.com or call toll-free at 855-386-7827. Check with your home state to learn if it offers tax or other benefits for investing in its own 529 plan. Open your Tennessee Stars account online at www.tnstars.com or call toll-free at 855-386-7827. Don't wait. Open your account today.
Tennessee Radio Network News. I'm Jim Williams. The latest on crime this morning, Warren Crutcher is dead. He's the guy who'd been wanted for questioning for killing four Tennesseans, three women, and a one-year-old toddler earlier this week. Crutcher's body has been found in Alabama, police identifying it on the spot Tuesday. Crutcher was being sought for questioning on those murders about a mile from the Alabama line. There may be more, though. The Madison County, Alabama coroner won't say just how Crutcher died, but they do say it doesn't look like a suicide. Two men considered persons of interest in a Nashville triple murder probe are no longer suspects. Metro Nashville police say Justin McCoy and Kevin Tidwell were interviewed about the deaths of a West Nashville family on Monday, but they didn't have any involvement in those killings. Murfreesboro police are investigating a shooting last night that left a house riddled with at least 30 bullets from an assault rifle. They say about 10 people were inside. A car pulled up and began shooting. One person was hit in the leg, treated at a local hospital. Something much happier, FedEx expects to ship a record number of packages over the holiday season, thanks to shoppers' growing fondness for buying online.
The Memphis-based company expects to handle 280 million shipments between Thanksgiving and Christmas, up 13% from the same stretch last year. Company officials project their busiest day this year will be December 10th, when they expect 19 million packages to move through the network.
TRN's Tanya J. Powers.
Coffee's hot.
Ouch.
Told you.
I know.
Just like I told you Tennessee could trust Scott Desjarlais.
Scott Desjarlais, the doctor?
Scott Desjarlais, the conservative Republican doctor we elected to shake up Washington.
How's he doing?
Says here Scott Desjarlais is putting our interests ahead of the Washington insiders.
Well, that's refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Scott Desjarlais voted to repeal Obamacare because it raises taxes, adds $700 billion to the deficit, and puts government bureaucrats between you and your doctor.
What else?
Well, Scott Desjarlais voted against increasing the federal debt ceiling because the government's job-crushing debt threatens our future. Mm. And Scott's fighting to stop Washington from spending money it doesn't have.
Wow, Scott Desjarlais has kept his word.
That's why big government liberals are targeting Scott Desjarlais for defeat. Where are you going?
I'm going to see how I can help Scott Desjarlais.
Wait for me. I want to keep Scott fighting for us, too.
I'm Scott Desjarlais, and I approve this message.
This message is paid for by friends of Scott Desjarlais.
Centennial High School principal Dr. Frank Brown, who's accused of sexual misconduct, has resigned. He's alleged to have had an inappropriate relationship with a student while he was a teacher at Nashville's McGavick High School, and he continued the relationship throughout his tenure as principal at Centennial. Murfreesboro police investigating the discovery of a mobile meth lab on a school playground. An empty soda bottle and tubing were found outside at Mitchell Nielsen Primary School. Police say no drugs were inside, though, and no children ever came in contact with that. And in sports, the Grizzlies continue the NBA preseason at home tonight against the Orlando Magic. They close out the exhibition season Friday with Toronto. Jim Williams, TRN News.
That update brought to you by Safe Auto. You had an accident and the guy's bloodthirsty lawyer wants to sue you. How would you protect yourself? You'd call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO for affordable liability insurance. Drive safe, spend less. Safe Auto.
Enjoy delicious homemade soup on a cold day and help Habitat for Humanity. Yes, Habitat for Humanity's Cooking to Build will be Saturday, November 3rd. It's on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza. You get to keep the hand-painted bowl and enjoy all the soup, stew, and chili. I'll be broadcasting there, too. Habitat for Humanity's Cookin' to Build, Saturday, November the 3rd, 11 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza in front of the library.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with Mr. Jerry Warner. And we want to let you know that this part of his show is brought to you by Larry Sims, and one of my good buddies over here. And as everybody knows, he's a great auctioneer here in Rutherford County. He handles a lot of property. And they have one of the best pieces of property you can find. It's at 2925 Coleman Hill Road, and there's 51 beautiful acres selling over there in four tracts. And at Saturday, October the 27th, it's this coming Saturday morning at 10:30. And there's four tracts, one 14-acre track, and has two perk sites. Track two has 10 acres, and it has a perk site for three bedrooms. Track three, 11 acres, three-bedroom perk site. And track four, 16 acres, three-bedroom perk site. And the thing about it is some of the most beautiful land we have right here in Rutherford County. All tracks feature availability, utility water, bench water line fronts, all tracks, lots of road frontage. And it has a combination of woods and pasture along with these great features. Each of these tracks offers the lucky buyer a rare chance to purchase land conveniently located between Franklin and Murfreesboro. For directions and some of the other aspects of the sale, call Larry Sims, auctioneer, 615-300-8321. That's 615-300-8321. Or David Gilliam, agent, 615-506-9353. That's 615-506-9353. And you'll be glad, and you're going to be upset if you're not able to go over there. Okay, Spence, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I looked over here and I saw Spence Everett sitting right there underneath the light.
I'm still under the light.
Yeah.
And they questioned me, and I had one question. They said, now, we know you've been in touch with Spence Edwards. Uh-huh. Said, we have this little piece of paper here where we found it on his billfold. Well, I asked the question. I said, where did you find that? Uh-huh. And they said, we'll ask the questions. You just answer them. Uh-huh. And from then on, I didn't open my mouth. Yeah. I was scared to death anyway. But I finally convinced them that I had not been in touch with him, that this was something I left on his bed in mm-hmm. Japan, and so... That was the end of it. But then he broke out of prison. I had seen his brother Harry here, and said Spence had asked about me, and Harry still lived here in Murfreesboro. I'm not sure he's still here or not. But then after he broke out of jail, I was living in Athens, Tennessee. And it looked like, and I told Harry where I lived, mm-hmm. and it looked like Spence was heading towards Chattanooga. Hmm. And I know my wife and I said, we thought, well, he might come here to our house. And I said, well, he's not going to bother us, but we just have to report him that he was here. But mm-hmm. but he veered off down, and they captured him again. And he was put in prison, and Woodrow Medlock, who was a minister over there, went to see him quite frequently. Mm-hmm. And I think Spence was making some kind of leather goods and stuff to help the children. And so Frank Clement was the governor, and Medlock was talking to the governor about releasing him to him, mm-hmm. and that was about to take place, but somebody killed him in prison, and he was killed in prison. Somebody, I don't know how he was killed, but they killed him in prison. I guess he
lived by the sword, you die by the sword.
He knew something about somebody.
Yeah.
And
boy, he was tough.
Anyways.
Now, before we get back to Westview, because you and I can talk about Westview for days on end. When you were in Japan, one of the things that's really interesting is the occupation and the relationship between the GIs who were actually occupying Japan and the Japanese citizens. And kind of relate a little bit, because it seems to be one of the most successful changes in history after a major war was how the relationship between Japan, which is most of the soldiers that fought over in the Eastern Front, were not happy with the Japanese, but the way the soldiers were mistreated over there when they were in the camps and things like that, and on the marches that are famous. But how did you guys get such a great relationship with the Japanese there?
Well, well, the Japanese were very well beaten down. Mm-hmm. I mean, their cities were destroyed. They were having trouble finding enough food to eat, and we'd have little kids at the end of our chow line wanting us to put any food that we had left over in these little bags for them to take home. So they were very, very beat down people, and they were good to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just there just wasn't any other way about it. Now, I don't know if it was that way everywhere. This was a small town where I was, but I guess it probably had a 500,000 people in it. Mm-hmm. And most of the food that we ate, they fertilized their fields with human feces, so we weren't supposed to eat anything, mm-hmm. even an apple off of a tree or anything. All of our food was grown hydroponically in water. Mm-hmm. And but all in all, they were just very submissive. Mm-hmm. There was no problems. Now they may have had some uprisings in other places, but not where I was. It was just.
You think of them socially, and they're very polite people.
Very polite.
They bow and seem like they honor the people they meet, and it seems totally opposite of what was seen during the wartime, the soldiers. And I'm sure a lot of that was done through the training and probably mistreating their own soldiers.
They were. But it was a good experience, and I was glad I had it, and I spent a little over a year over there, and then when I got out, I joined the National Guard, Army mm-hmm. National Guard, and I had been in a machine gun section, and they'd gotten some machine guns in down at the Armory, and I knew something about them, and so I started teaching classes down there.
Is that the 30 caliber?
Uh-huh, 30 caliber machine gun. And Colonel Parks and Tom Givens, they told us, well, we can't pay you, but you could just join the National Guard. So I joined the National Guard, and I was teaching school and not making a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I think about $200 a month. And so that helped a little bit there. And it was, and I stayed in the National Guard 33 years and retired as a lieutenant colonel. A PFC was the highest rank I made when I was in Japan, mm-hmm. but I stayed with the National Guard for 33 years and enjoyed it. Had a lot of good experiences. I'll tell you, and then teaching school, I taught about 3,000 students.
Wow!
And I never had a student that was disrespectful to me. I would wear a coat and tie, and I think they looked.
Your presence commands.
They looked upon me, and then of course I just gotten out of the military, and mm-hmm. I guess I had a little bit of a command voice too. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of students now that are friends of mine. For example, down at Hooper Supply, Jim Haynes is one of my former students, and Tommy.
How was Jim Haynes in school?
How was he?
Yeah.
Well, I don't. Well, he wasn't too bad a student. I taught Bubba Woodfin.
Oh my goodness,
Bubba Woodfin.
Are you going to take credit for that?
No, I told his daughter out there one time. I said, "Did you know I taught Bubba? I taught your father." She said, "You did." I said, "You didn't teach him much, did you?" I said, "No, I didn't teach him much." I said, "I didn't have a whole lot to work with." I said, "I did the best of what I had." But Bubba and I are good friends, and Tommy Howard, mm-hmm. and several others that I've taught, and they're friends of mine now. And I'll tell you one little incident, a story that happened. Someone asked me, said, did you have any discipline problems? I didn't have very many discipline problems. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't really a discipline problem, but I can tell you the story, but I've never been able to find the main character. But anyway, it was Teacher Appreciation Week, mm-hmm. and the Future Teachers of America brought apples around with a little flag on it. Thank you for being a teacher, which mm-hmm. which was really good, and we appreciated that. And I got called to the telephone for something, and when I got back, I looked over there, and my apple wasn't anything over there but the core. Somebody had eaten my apple. And I looked at it, and here's about 25 or 30 chemistry students looking at me, mm-hmm. like, let's see how he's going to handle this. And I was wondering in my mind, how am I going to handle this? And so I just decided to do nothing. I let that class go out. Mm-hmm. When the next chemistry class came in, I told them, I said, gosh, somebody from that last class ate this poison, this apple up here. I said, I've been using it for mercury experiments. And they said, isn't mercury poisonous? I said, well, it is very poisonous. Mm-hmm. I said, I wish we could find out who he is. Well, it didn't take long for that class to go out and tell the whole 1,500 students that somebody had eaten a poisonous apple in Mr. Warner's chemistry class. And it wasn't but a little while to that fella, and I never have found out yet who it was. He come knocking on the door, and he's already beginning to sort of turn green. And he said, Mr. Warner said, I ate that apple in your class, and said, some of the fellas told me I ought to go on over and get my stomach pumped out now. And I said, well, no, I said, don't go now. I didn't say this to him, but I started to say, if you're still alive at the end of the day, you come by and see me. But he came by that afternoon, and I talked to him, and I've forgotten who he was. But I've told that at a lot of reunions. Mm-hmm. And there may be somebody out there now that hears this that will own up to it and say, well, I was the one that ate that apple. I remember the last reunion I went to, Bob Knight, Dr. Knight, said, Jerry, said, I'll tell you one thing. I didn't eat that poisonous apple. But
You mentioned all these people that have become successful in the community. And I think back on Westview, and I think of all the different people and all the different types that came from there. And it's almost like looking at a small part of America, how it grows out. Some, they all go in different directions, but you had a major part in each of it. Was that part of your growing process of growing up with those extremely interesting people back then?
Probably was. They were good people. Mm-hmm. I can remember one fella, Hewlin Beasley. He was a dentist, and I think he got a degree in architecture. Mm-hmm. Archie Cassidy, one of my best friends, he joined the Air Force, and he was a pilot mm-hmm. During the war. Wow. And he retired as a lieutenant colonel. And Stanley Richards, he was a lawyer. And just a lot of good people came out of Westview. I made a list one time of, I think, maybe 75 to 100 people who joined services mm-hmm. and were veterans during the war.
Wow.
A few of them gave their supreme sacrifice and were killed in combat. Mm-hmm. I remember one or two, their feet were frozen in the Battle of Bastogne, the Battle of the Bulge. Mm-hmm. And so it was a good place to grow up, a good safe place to grow up. It was rural America. It was the kind of America that we would like for the whole country to be. And
you had positive influences over there, a lot of them. The church had a strong bearing
church,
on that area.
They
over
did.
There.
We had two or three churches, the Church of Christ and then Baptist Church, and had a lot of influence.
You know, some of the names that have just kind of just gone over the ages, like Woodrow Medlock,
right.
who was a minister over there.
Right.
And it seemed like he had a strong influence on a large number
he
of the people over
he
there, because I've heard them say that themselves.
He did. Jim Averett.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jim is very focused on that area like you are. And he's written down a lot of things.
Oh, yeah, he has.
And really, you know, if all you guys could put your memories together and write a major book just focusing just on that area and the people that came out of
there. We've got one like that.
I have seen, I have read portions of a couple of books that are like that.
Stanley Richards did a real good job of writing that book, and he had every house listed and had it was just and sold a lot of them. It was really a good historical book about Westview. And Tom Averett and Ike Averett, they were. I remember they. I grew up. They were a little older than me, but they would let me play ball with them if I would bring my bat and my glove and my ball. I could play any position I wanted to play as long as I brought my stuff. And but anyway.
You think of that being a blue-collar area.
Yeah.
And we had talked about that. And I think that's one of the things you can focus on is the middle-class people who had such great work ethics and still do. You know, it's a shame that a lot of those jobs have been lost, the factories and like that.
Yeah.
It's become a major negative influence on the United States and losing these jobs are going outside the country. And I think that's one of the things that the strength of this country really misses a lot is the input from the middle-class people who love to get out and work and be a strong part of society.
Yeah.
We're losing some of that. Yeah. And, boy, I wish our leaders could – I wish maybe they had been brought up in Westview or
somewhere
like
that
and know what it is to work hard.
Right. It was – a dollar was a dollar.
Yeah.
And I remember – people would ask me, said, "Well, what did you do for recreation? Where'd you get your money?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could get 100 pounds of scrap iron, and take it down to a place and get I think 35 cents for 100 pounds of scrap iron.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Well, what could you do with 35 cents?" Well, you go to the movie for 11 cents,
mm-hmm.
and if you wanted 12, and you could get a nickel bag of popcorn, and you could get a nickel drink, and that's 21 cents.
That's at the Francis Theater.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then you'd go over to A.L. Smith's drugstore and read two or three comic books and feel badly about not buying one. And so we'd buy a 10-cent comic book, and we'd go home with 4 cents.
Oh, wow.
So, but those were good times. And
you know, we had, what was it, 5 pharmacists.
All the pharmacies were on the square.
All on the square at that time.
Right.
Everything focused on the square, and you were within walking distance of the square. So you were actually in a perfect location at that time.
we moved out of Westview over to South Church Street in 1941. My dad bought a lot over there on South Church Street for $300. And they said you can have the back lot for $100.
Mm-hmm. I believe we have a caller on the line, Jerry. Okay. So, caller, welcome aboard with Jerry Warner.
Thank you. Hey, Jerry, this is Jack Bailey. I just heard you talking about Westview and thought I'd call and say good morning to you. And
thank you, Jack.
Truman, and hope y'all doing well. Certainly enjoying your show. Truman, I enjoy this show. I listen to it every morning.
Do you really?
It's just refreshing, yes.
Well, how is this coming across?
It's coming across just fantastic.
Anything you want to say about Westview? I'm trying to build Westview up.
Jerry, I could talk about Westview a long time. I tell you what, I was thinking about Jim Avett, Tommy Trott. You remember Tommy?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Tommy could shoot a little basketball every once in a while.
Yeah. But anyway, I'll let you go. And I
Jack,
just thought I'd call and say hi to you.
It was good to see you the other day. And you come by to see me sometime, and we'll reminisce about Westview.
All righty.
Thank
bye
you
bye.
For calling.
Jack.
Bye.
You
came by to see me the other day.
See,
but when we left Westview, my dad bought a lot. It's in 1941 on South Church Street. The front lot is $300, and they said you can have the back lot for $100.
Wow.
And built a house over there. And I guess my life changed a whole lot when we moved over there because Bob Shacklett, that was Dr. Shacklett, who recently died, his brother, and they lived right down the street, and I palled around with him, and he got me a job up at the drugstore at Buckeye and Tarpey Drugstore. And that's where I met a lot of people because everybody came in and out of those drugstores up there. Oh, I know one that once I'll tell you. Did I ever tell you about the shooting over at Holloway High School?
No, and we mentioned that early before we went on the air, and I was going to get to it. I'm glad you brought it up because I forgot it.
Can we do it?
Yeah, let's do it right now.
I wasn't supposed to. Buddy Miller and I, my best friend, we weren't supposed to go over there on Saturday night when Holloway played football because our parents said, well, they have a lot of fights over there and you don't need to go over there. And so we slipped off and went over there that night.
Good for you.
And I'm not sure they were playing Shelbyville, but Shelbyville was one of their biggest rivals. I mean, they really had a big ball game. So the half ended. The referee shot a gun, and half ended, and somebody hollered, "This man's been shot." And he wasn't too far from us, and we thought, oh my gosh, this is what my parents have been telling us about. So they came barreling out of the stands, and I guess if we hadn't gotten out of the way, they'd have trampled us. And what found out happened, what we thought happened, was the referee had a real bullet in his gun.
Didn't have a blank like
No, he didn't have a blank. And we just felt like he pointed down to the gun to the floor and hit a rock, and it ricocheted off and hit this fellow in the head. But I found out later that that's not what happened. If I'm not mistaken, the referee was Ewell Willis, I believe. And he used to shine shoes down at Tip Top Barbershop. Right. And I talked to him, and he said, no, that's not the way it happened. He said I had a real bullet in the gun, and said I was watching my watch, and when it got time, I just pulled the trigger, and the bullet just went across there and hit this fellow in the head. And Dr. Kaufman was the attending physician, and he came in the drugstore the next morning, and he said they brought the fellow in there, and he said it just scraped around the edge of his head, and he took a few stitches in it, and he went home.
Good night.
And that was...
You see something like it in the movie, you don't think anything like that could happen in real
life. I thought, oh, God, this is what my mother and dad have been telling us about. Don't go over there, you're going to get shot.
They had some good football teams over at
Holloway. Oh, they did.
I mean, they were tough.
That's right. Somebody used to say they only had one quarterback. One, two, three, give the ball to Tommy Lee. And when Tommy Lee got it, he used him like a touchdown.
You know, we all missed a lot because... You know, we didn't attend each other's games much back then, and we really should have. Of course, when we played, we played about the same time they did, so I never did get to see any of that. But, I mean, the athletes that they got out of Holloway, I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
Oh, yeah. It was a good school, good people.
When you were teaching school and you had all these people that were in at the time, did you ever think – while they were in your class, how successful some of them were going to be. But you had people that had great personalities. You had Bubba, who was, you know. He was.
Well, of course, at that time, Central High School was the only high school here in the city. And so every student that was planning to go to college, for the most part, came through my classes. And I taught chemistry and physics. And
what was your first year there at Central?
52, I believe, 51, 52.
So you got those little glory years of the 51, 51, 52 group.
And but anyway, I knew that many of them were going to be successful. And a lot of them became doctors, Joe Knight, Bob Knight, Paul Abernathy.
There's three
Henry,
big names.
Henry King Butler.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And a lot of lawyers, business people, And today they're my friends.
You had a lot of teachers come out of there too.
Had a lot of teachers come out of there, but they were just good students, well disciplined, and they seemed like they really wanted to learn. You know,
you felt like at that time that you were making a difference in your community, by giving them a little bit of edge to be successful.
It was one of the best things I ever did. Now, I left in 1956 and went into East Tennessee to a paper company and worked up there as a chemist in a laboratory, but that wasn't something. I'm a people person.
You are.
I have to relate to people, and I enjoyed teaching. I never did make a lot of money teaching, but it was a good profession.
And you're the type of person that makes people successful because of your attitude and the way that you relate. And a lot of people, you know, I had some teachers that were strong disciplinarians, and I had others that were kind of loose, laid back, and easy to relate to. And I guess each student relates differently, but I always related better with people like you than somebody that had their thumb on me all the time.
Well, you know, I try to teach on a level where all of them could learn, and a lot of them would come back after school, and I'd work with them. But I had very few failures. It was a good time to teach. Teaching today, I don't think I would enjoy it. They're testing them to death, and it seems like every time somebody tries to improve education, it gets worse.
Yeah, because it becomes more like of a, I've said it before, I shouldn't say it again, but a cookie cutter type situation. You want every student to succeed on the same level with the same type of subjects, but many have the aptitude for whatever subject it is, and others don't. And back then, I think they were more broad-minded, and they were trying more to raise kids to be successful, but in their own areas.
And another thing, you had a lot of parent support.
Yeah,
parents
did.
Would support the schools. And I think that's that meant an awfully lot. I mean, you know, when you were in elementary school, if you got a spanking at school, which some of us did, it was never your fault.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was never the teacher's fault. It was always your fault.
Right.
And more than likely, if you found out about it, you'd get another one when you got home.
Yeah, I was a victim of that a number of times.
I know.
But never in the high school level.
No,
because
no.
I tell you what, I was scared to death of Mr. Pittard. I really was. I mean, he could walk down the hallway, and I would cringe. Because I would even think about something I may have wanted to do,
right,
and I guarantee you I'm not going to do it.
He was I would have to say he and Mr. and Ms. Hobgood were three people that really instrumental in being in me being successful as I've been.
And you're one of the numbers that have made it that way.
Right. They were good people.
And it's people like you that should be making up, should be sitting on the boards for how teachers should be able to react in the classroom. And you know, when you take away a teacher's ability to be able to relate to the students in a positive way, a caring way, it kind of lessens their ability to become successful with that student, doesn't it?
Right. Education's changed a lot. Well, everything's changed a lot.
Yeah.
And so many of the changes have not been for the good.
Yeah.
But
that's unfortunate, because when we lose people like you out of the classroom and some of the other areas, it seemed like everywhere that you've been able to adapt to whatever the area is.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the things that's made you, I mean, everybody loves being around you. They love to listen to the stories. I had rather sit here with you and listen to your stories and to watch the best movie I've ever seen.
Well, I
because
appreciate
I,
that.
I'm watching real life when I'm here with you.
I appreciate that.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Jerry Warner.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Have low interest rates and ongoing market volatility jeopardized your financial peace of mind? There is a solution. Work with a professional that believes in safe money alternatives. For 24 years, Doug King of King Financial Management specialized in strategies that provide asset protection, moderate growth, and guaranteed retirement income. Call Doug today at 877-890-5489 so that tomorrow your money will be working smarter for you. Online at kingfinancialmanagement.com. That's kingfinancialmanagement.com.
Have you ever thought about who decides if a product or service meets the customer satisfaction test? Who decides if the business performs better than others? It's not the business, but the customer. Our business community knows their customers decide if they have met the test. Customers, when you have a concern, don't go away. Give the business a chance to resolve your issues. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
This is Bob New. I'm running for state representative in the 37th District. I've been a resident of Rutherford County for 23 years. I'm a registered nurse and veteran. I'm committed to the people of Rutherford County. I will work to bring good-paying jobs to Tennessee, improve our schools, and spend tax dollars wisely. Together, we can move Tennessee forward. I would appreciate your vote on November 6th. Visit my website at electbobnew.com. Thank you. I'm Bob New, and I approve this ad. Paid for by Bob New Campaign, Linda New Treasurer.
We're here with Dr. Rishi Saxena, the only certified physician in heart CT in this area, talking about the 64-slice CT scan.
Other tests are invasive, and they are not as accurate, particularly the treadmill stress test. Sometimes you may have a negative test, you may still have blockages.
Before heart catheterization or stress test, call 896-4800.
This is the earliest test where you could find information without taking too much risk.
Call 896-4800. It could be the 1 minute that saves your life.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Jerry Warner. We've just got a short time, unfortunately. And you know, one of the groups that is probably one of the more enjoyable groups that meets, you know, everybody's got a little section where they go to a restaurant or something in the morning, and they all sit around and talk about interesting things. But Hooper Supply has got one of the more interesting, and I just wished I could get over there. I've been over there a couple of times, but I wish I could get over there more, because it's one of the most enjoyable things, because we have people like you that have all of these great memories and stories of this area. And of course, they keep up with politics and everything else, but yeah. But the things that are really interesting are what they've done and what they're doing.
Yeah. It's a good group of people. I've been going down there, I guess, for 6 months. Some of them, I think it's been going on for several years.
Oh, it has.
And but if there's any news that has happened last night, generally somebody there knows about it. And we just got there must be 15 or 20 come in and out. Mm-hmm. They don't come every day. But one of my friends, W.K. Lane, he and I were in the Army together. We went in the Army together, and WK comes down there. He has trouble driving. He's got having trouble with his eyes. But anyway, he and I go out to eat usually on Friday, and they kid us down there about going to Cracker Barrel and getting eating off a child's menu. And what they add to it, though, is that we eat off the child's menu, and then we ask for a senior discount. we don't do that.
That is my destruction. When I go to Cracker Barrel, I have to get that, what is Big Mama's breakfast or what it is. I mean, you get pancakes on top of eggs and bacon and sausage, and you can eat forever. I gain 10 pounds every time I go over there. But you guys, I mean, you got Abby Miller is one of the more interesting people to talk to. Everybody over there, I could sit next to a different person, 15 or 20 of them, each day, I think, and I could have the best day of my life.
You need to come down there sometime.
Got to. What time I've been over there, of course, Greg Tucker got me over there one morning. And the stories just never end.
Right. I mean,
they need a pot-bellied stove right in the middle, and everybody's
sitting
around.
They've got a big fireplace. Uh-huh. And in the wintertime, Larry McDonald, he's the fire maker. Uh-huh. He builds fires, and it's real cozy there in the wintertime. They have popcorn, and people bring things down there to eat, and donuts and all that kind of stuff.
But does just Hooper furnish the coffee?
We pay for the coffee.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. And we take up dues. And
you have dues.
Well, just a little bit. Uh-huh. But anyway, I went down there for, I don't know, a month or two, I guess, and I kept asking Larry McDonald. I said, I need to pay. I said, I'm drinking coffee here. He said, well, don't worry about that. I said, we'll take up some money sometime. Mm-hmm. Well, long about Christmas time, I think I paid $25 for a cup of coffee because I paid my, I guess I paid my dues, and we had Christmas presents for the girls and boys up front, and
Nice.
And the coffee percolator went out, and so I told them, I said, it's the most expensive cup of coffee I've ever had, $25. But they're good people, and they've been real good to me. So,
you've got so many friends that you've made in every walk of life and everywhere you've been, and when I see you, I have to run up and say hi to you, because you're one of those people that really has made a difference and still making a difference by the things that you have learned and the things that you've known and the people that you've met and all the successful people that you have had a hand in a big hand in their success. Is there anything over your whole life that you've done that maybe stands out more than any other? I'm sure the wartime is big, and your memories with Spence Edwards, who is such a colorful character. I know he did such a terrible thing in Georgia and all that, but when you're looking back, like Western lore, he would fit in like some of those major bandits back then.
But I don't know. Teaching, I guess, was the greatest impact I've had. I mean, I think made a real impact on the community by teaching 2,000 or 3,000 students. Mm-hmm. And I've run into a lot of people. And, of course, at my age, you know, you have a lot of stories, stories that I haven't been able to tell. But I appreciate all the kind remarks that you've made. And
sure
and tell your viewing audience now that that's not something I wrote out for you to say.
Oh, they know better than that. And I can tell you, I only compliment the people that deserve to have the compliments.
I appreciate it.
And you're well at the top. And I hope you do something that I have been in era not doing. And that's one of the good things about all these shows, that they are podcasts, and they're there for history, because we have people like you on that have meant so much to Rutherford County and the growth of it and the success of it, is putting a pen to paper and writing down a lot of this for your family and for the historical reasons.
I've done a lot of that.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because it's something that shouldn't be lost. I mean, those are time. In many ways, you know, we've grown to more positive ways. But back then, to me, that was the golden years. And other people will look at it different. But the 40s and the 50s. Yeah. Late 30s. Yeah. They were hard times, extremely hard times, but there were a lot of lessons learned.
A lot of good
years, Yes.
So I've written a lot of it down, and it was good to have been here on the home front during the war years. I mean,
right.
I could talk for an hour on that.
Is there anybody you want to say bye to?
No, just not really.
Are the Hooper boys listening together?
They may be listening. If they are, well, I say hello to them.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you for being on. It's my pleasure and my honor.
Thank you.
And tomorrow we will have Dr. Bud Young on, and that's Dr. Bud Young, not Milk Bud Young. And we're going to have an interesting show. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 9:00.